Ben Criddle joining us from parts unknown in Michigan. Where are you at right now, Ben?
So we checked into our place. Actually, beforehand, I stopped in at the field, and I got to know some of the team members, and I actually asked them about 311. I knew that you guys were doing the band of the day, 311, and I did a survey. Came out that 311 is actually the Wolverines' favorite band, and that actually bodes quite well for BYU.
It's also how many passing yards I expect out of Tanner Mangum tomorrow.
Yeah, let's hope so. I think that's feasible. Maybe against the 13th ranked passing defense in the nation. That's a tall order that you just put out there.
Well, so take us through the journey that started yesterday. You flew into Chicago, right? Now, Zach said that maybe originally the plan was to go to a Cubs game today. Did you make it to Wrigley today?
Yes, we did. We went over to Wrigley. We experienced that. Unfortunately, we took off a little bit late. We didn't get to watch the entire game. We were trying to make it to the Fireside. Well, traffic is very bad coming out of Chicago, as you could imagine. We thought we were going to be able to slip past it by leaving a little bit early. We didn't. We weren't able to go to the Fireside, unfortunately. I hear it was a great Fireside from the reports that I'm getting.
And you missed Ziggy because Ziggy's there, apparently.
Ziggy, yes, Ziggy did show up as well. We arrived late last night. We went out to a lovely bar right next to Wrigley Field, mingled with some of the Chicago Cubs fans and the locals. It was kind of funny as we go into this bar. The locals are actually they're very forthright and almost. In Utah, you'd say that they're rude, right, when they're serving you. Like I was asking questions about the chicken wings, and the guy that the owner of the bar was like, "Hey, man, what's that? I mean, 10, 20, 30, they're wings, dude, they're wings." And I was like, "Oh man, the wings. All right, hey, well, I shouldn't ask any more questions about the wings." Anyways, he lightened up a little bit towards the end, gave us some insight into his little brewery. He's got a little microbrewery there, it was a fantastic meal. And then we went to the game today, mingled with some beautiful ladies. At least I did. My brothers are all taken, but
you might get some of them in trouble if their wives are listening right now.
Yeah.
No, if you don't clarify that.
Yeah. They were not mingling. I was doing the mingling. We met a lovely man by the name of Horace, who was he's homeless, and we bought him a Chicago dog.
So it's not Horace Grant, the former Chicago Bull.
It was. I thought it might have been Horace Grant. It was not. It was Mr. Horace.
Okay.
So then we took off, and now we have arrived in Ann Arbor.
So we've obviously been talking a lot about this. I'll ask you the question that is the question of the day. Which BYU position group has the most pressure on them tomorrow?
Defensive line. And you can couple that with the linebackers as well. Those are the guys that did not show up last week. They did not do their jobs. They did not make tackles. They did not make plays. As Bronco Mendenhall pointed out, a good defense. On film, you'll see a guy that is unblocked make a tackle. In a great defense, guys that are blocked will get off that block and make the tackle. Now, there's going to be a hat-to-hat on almost every single play versus Michigan. In watching their film, I watched some extra film last night, watched some film on the way into Ann Arbor. They put a hat on a hat, and they're a very good football team. They're underrated right now. I mean, I think in the minds of BYU fans, they need to realize that they are underrated. You're not giving them as much credit as they deserve. They are a very physical football team. I know what you saw versus the University of Utah. Is what you're expecting to see on Saturday. That's not the same team. But there are some keys to the game. But I would say that the team, the personnel group, the position group that needs to step up and really make a difference in this game is the defensive line. Stay low to the ground. Keep your leverage. You know, if you can get off a block, fantastic. Spin out of it if you need to. Button press. Be physical. But Bronco also has to do a good job of subbing these guys in and out and keeping fresh bodies because Michigan's gonna wear them down.
With the news coming out about Travis not being able to, he didn't even make the trip. He's not going to be playing tomorrow. Who do you expect to step up out of that defensive line group, and what kind of rotation do you expect to see?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that I expect to have a great game is Bronson. Bronson has to step up. I know Bronson has had a solid season thus far. He's produced. But you need Bronson to be the MVP of this defense. How long have we talked about him being an NFL defensive end? I want to see it. I thought he had a good game versus UCLA. I thought he had a good game versus Nebraska. I thought he had a good game versus – actually, his best game might have been Boise State. And then all of a sudden he goes against a pretty tough UCLA offensive line last week. And I felt that the UCLA line got to him. I think they – I saw fatigue setting in. And as we all know, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I saw guys doubting their ability to make plays versus that very physical UCLA offensive line. So the guy that's going to step up in place of Tui Loma, we talked about Rolly hopefully moving over to the nose side. No one's going to replace Tui Loma. There's just not a guy on the squad that can replace Tui Loma. You have to get by with Logan, Rolly. Bronson's got to make plays off the edge. If he's going to play more Will, the whole reason why, I think we talked about this on the show before, the whole reason why Bronson Kafusi was initially moved to outside linebacker, that Will linebacker spot, was because of that with that Washington game, the Fight Hunger Bowl. BYU was dominated at the point of attack. That line of scrimmage was dominated by Washington's offensive line. So they wanted to add another two-gapper in there. And so they did, and that allows when you really beef up the front and you focus on the run and you move Bronson Kafusi out to Will linebacker, hopefully not putting him in coverage situations. Look, we all know Michigan doesn't throw the ball well, okay? They just don't. Rudock is not where he needs to be just yet. He has improved, but he's not where he's got to rely on that rush game. But I think if you move Bronson out there to Will and you beef up that front, you can allow Harvey Longhi and Manoah Pikula to hopefully scrape and make plays. And then those guys have to wrap up. No excuses. You got to wrap up versus Davian Smith. And if you don't, he's going to gash it.
You talked a little bit about that defeated feeling that comes when you're kind of getting dominated on the defensive side of the ball. How do you think Bronco addressed that? The dehumanizing factor. How do you think Bronco has addressed that this week in practice, and do you expect a difference in attitude out of the defense this week?
I mean, it's hard to replicate the type of physicality that you're gonna face on Saturday. It just is. So you have to. I think the most underemphasized thing in football is just employing proper technique and teaching proper technique so that you can win one-on-one battles. So I hope that technique was the focus. Now, physicality and effort, you know, that's great. You know, you can focus on those, and I think that's what they did in practice this week. But I hope that there are mentors around the program and coaches that focused on the lack of technique that was being employed versus UCLA, and so that it can hopefully be employed versus Michigan. Because if not, you're going to see the same thing. And you can only do so much with scheme. We saw, I can't tell you how many times I saw BYU Bronco Mendenhall make the right play call and a guy not use proper technique in order to get off a block or to make a tackle. There's nothing else Bronco can do schematically. He's got to sit down with the coach and say, hey, we got to get down to the basics. And we got to focus on technique. So that's what I hope was addressed. I don't know if it was fully addressed across the board. I think there was individuals that perhaps certain coaches and mentors addressed with those players. But I'd be surprised if everyone got that type of attention so that they can excel on Saturday. So there's always going to be, you know, some weak spots. But it's still a concern for me.
I understand the sample size is only three games, but to your point in terms of, you know, better technique and being assignment sound, I do feel like, though, this team is so much further ahead. And I understand last year this team started 4-0, I understand, but there was still some issues with that. I still feel like this team is in a better position. I don't see as many of those mistakes this year as I remember seeing last year. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think you're still giving up too many passing touchdowns, and I think you know, I think five is still too many through three games. I think that's where we're at right now. I think that what you're feeling and what you're seeing, Jason, and this is the fan base as well. How do I put this? I think you're seeing a better defense right now in terms of takeaways. If you don't get those takeaways, you might see the same type of defense as you did last year. Okay, you're getting more takeaways. Which, I mean, how many times has BYU gotten a takeaway, a pick in the red zone? It's happened two or three times now.
Yeah.
Last year, those were touchdowns. So teams are still gaining yards against this defense. They're still moving the football. The difference is takeaways. And unfortunately, BYU doesn't have an offense right now that is led by Taysom Hill. It's just how it is. And that's the biggest difference. And that's why I'm still concerned about this game. Tanner Mangum has done a phenomenal job. I'm a huge fan of Tanner Mangum and the Mangum Magic. Taylor Mangum hopefully shows up versus Michigan. But, you know, they haven't capitalized on the turnovers. And when you don't capitalize on turnovers, you know, I'm frustrated, and I don't believe BYU can win. It's just that's how it is, because Michigan's going to get their yards. They're going to be able to move the football at times. Can BYU get the takeaways? I hope so, and if they do, you got to capitalize.
What type of performance do you expect tomorrow from Tanner Mangum or Taylor Mangum against this number 13 ranked Michigan pass defense?
Yeah, I was looking at, like, for me, this game breaks down to kind of the five biggest stories. And then the first big story is the fact that the defenses that BYU and Tanner Mangum have faced have been progressively gotten better each week. Now, some people might argue with me on this, but in my opinion, in the film that I've watched, I thought Nebraska's defense was good. Boise State's defense was actually better. I like their defensive front better. And then UCLA, with Miles Jack out there making plays, and I thought they had a pretty good defensive front, better secondary than both Boise and Nebraska. I think they're a better football team defensively. And now this week, Michigan's the best defense that BYU's faced thus far. So biggest test for Tanner. The great thing about Tanner is he's been steady, and you know, judging by the defenses that he's faced, he's actually progressively gotten better, as we talked about yesterday, because he stayed steady versus better competition each week. So you mentioned 13th in the nation. 79 attempts, only 47 completions. That's approximately 60%, but there haven't been big chunk yardage plays. Okay, Utah was able to get maybe a few chunk yardage plays, but even they had to execute a traditional offense versus Michigan. They make you earn every single first down. Only 432 yards passing in three games, and most of that came from Utah. Two touchdowns, three INTs that they've taken away three, and they've given up two touchdowns. That's only 144 yards a game. That is a tremendous defense. I'm optimistic because for the first time this season, BYU has executed a traditional offense, getting into second and manageables and third and shorts. And apart from that second-to-last drive in the first half where BYU had a third and one, went for the home run on a play action, delayed H-back seam, I thought they did a tremendous job in converting those. Harvey Longy has to have a great game in those third and short situations and hopefully take Kine out to get a few breathers in. But that's kind of the first story is Tanner Mangum. He's been steady. Can he execute a traditional offense with the help of some of his running backs in those second and mediums and third and shorts? That's probably the main story right now for me.
All right, Ben, one last thing before we let you go. It's Friday before a game, which means predictions. We've already made ours. All four of us have BYU winning and all scoring right around 27-28. I had 31 for BYU's offensive output. What's your prediction for tomorrow?
Man, it's tough. I'm going actually 23-20 Michigan. Unfortunately, BYU loses another close one. I just can't, after watching the film, of the last two games, Oregon State UNLV, and it's tough because you don't know how good those Oregon State teams are right now. They're in a rebuilding phase. Gary Anderson's trying his best. Kalani Sitake trying his best. UNLV is not a good football team. And in fact, in the second half, UNLV actually stymied this Michigan offense. I mean, it was actually kind of – it was somewhat embarrassing. But I can't imagine that they're going to do that. I think you're going to see the Michigan team of Oregon of that Oregon State game. So I'm calling a close one, but BYU lost. And this is the reason why, okay? I'll give you some more reasoning behind it. It hurts when you don't use Kurtz, okay? Kurtz was utilized versus Nebraska, and what happened? We won the football game, and he had over 130 yards receiving, chunk yardage plays. Kurtz is the only guy on this team that I trust to create and execute chunk yardage plays. Kurtz is actually the best wide receiver on this team. No receiving TDs yet his talent level and playmaking ability warrant more looks.
No love for Mitch Matthews?
I love Mitch Matthews, and I've been a huge fan of Stilts for a long time. I was calling Mitch Matthews' name in 2012, and finally they allowed him to play, and he broke out for that Utah State 3-touchdown performance. Amazing. He had to pull up his pants every single touchdown, but looked great. But Kurtz is being underutilized. BYU, if you target him, you have a better chance of winning the football game. He thrives off of confidence from his quarterback and his offensive coordinator, though. They have to give him that confidence. If he's a positive reinforcement guy. Don't sit him if he starts to struggle in this Michigan game. You got to continue to put him out there and you got to give him more opportunities. And Tanner has to put the ball within his catching radius, which is very good. I want to see better physicality at the point of attack. So the offensive line has to do a better job of protecting. But Kurtz is my guy on offense. Get him more looks. And then I'd say on defense right now, Bronson. Get an MVP performance. Show me that you're an NFL football player. Last week, it was Harvey Longy. I don't think Harvey can continue to sustain that type of momentum. I think he's going to have a good game, but Bronson needs to step up and give me an NFL caliber type of performance. And the other great story, guys, there's a common opponent with the Utah, man. This is awesome. This is another talking point. It's going to draw more eyes and ears to this game because of the common opponent. And, I'm excited to see how BYU stacks up versus a Michigan team, and we can compare it to Utah, and that's always a point of conversation on Monday.
All right, Ben, great stuff, man. Enjoy your time there in Michigan. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and hopefully you bring the Cougs. Good luck tomorrow. We appreciate it.
I know. Hopefully they prove me wrong.